few moments ago, we will be looking this morning at three of the 12 disciples. Yes, three in one message. That's because in all of Scripture, all three of them combined only speak one time. And some of them, apart from the listings, are not mentioned elsewhere in Scripture. So we are looking at three very obscure disciples. But it's interesting to note this. Each of these three disciples that we will look at this morning also have a name in common with one of the other disciples. We have three sets of disciples that have the same name. There are two Simons, Simon Peter and the one we will look at this morning, Simon Zelotes or the Zealot. All right. We have what other pairs? I'm going to let you help me a little bit this morning. What other pairs do we have? We have two James. We have James, the brother of John, the son of Zebedee. And we have James this morning, who's the son of Alphaeus. So it's a different James. All right? And then we have two Judas. We have Judas Iscariot and the other Judas. As sometimes the scripture trying to make it clear who's being talked about, sometimes our Bibles have Judas, not Iscariot, in the passage to let us know who is being referred to there. So we have three people. It's interesting that the other three, apart from the three we're looking at, are three of the most prominent ones in Scripture. Simon Peter is the most prominent of the disciples. James is very prominent, and unfortunately, Judas Iscariot is very prominent. But the other three with matching names are very obscure. They're very elevated in the eyes of everyone else. Now, let's just quickly look at some truths about, and when I come to one of the men, I want you to be aware that, you know what, we know about him a lot more than we know about him. We know about his mother. And I'm going to point that out this morning. There's a lot more said about one of these disciples' mother than what's said about him. But, you know, maybe he became who he was because of his mother. You know? And so we're gonna look at some of that truth this morning. Let's go to Matthew chapter 10, just to refresh our minds for a moment. Matthew chapter 10. And there in starting in verse 2 and 3 and 4, we have a listing of the 12 disciples. This is one of four lists, one in Matthew, one in Mark, one in Luke, and then one in Acts. The only difference, the one in Acts is missing one name. That's Judas Iscariot, because by that time he has already killed himself, and so he's missing on that particular list and will be replaced. But we have the names. We've already looked here in verse 2, we've already looked at Simon Peter, and we've already looked at Andrew and James and John and Philip and Bartholomew and Thomas and Matthew. Now, that has brought us through the first two groups of four, because these disciples seem to have been formed into three groups of four. And we've looked at the first two groups, the first eight. Now we're entering into the final group of four, which include, according to this passage, James the son of Alphaeus, Labius, whose surname was Thaddeus, Simon the Canaanite, and Judas Iscariot. And so we'll be looking at these three of these four today, and then for the next couple of Sundays we'll consider Judas as we finish out this study of the disciples. It's interesting. Tell me what you see in verse 2 and in verse 3 that might be common to both verses, I don't know how to say this, that's in italics, okay? What's in italics in both those verses? The Son. I'm not trying to change scripture, please don't get on me for this, but let's leave that out for a minute. Though we understand, don't we, that those who translated the scriptures into the King James for us to help clarify the verse, they added those words that are in italics. But let's leave them out for just a moment. And again, don't get on me. I'm not trying to change scripture or anything like that. But let's read it. Verse 2, James of Zebedee. Now, if we didn't know that Zebedee was another man, what might we be thinking about? Maybe a town or something like that, right? We might be James of Zebedee. We might be talking about a town. But we know, because of comparing scripture with scripture, that Zebedee was, he's mentioned other places, he was the father. So we already know that when they use the term James of someone, you're talking about his father. And so when we look down in verse 3, we have James of Alphaeus. So again, it's pretty common for us to understand that that's talking about who his father was. And so we know that this is talking about a different James than James of Zebedee. This is a different James. And we know it's not James, the brother of Jesus, because that would be James of Joseph. And so it's pinpointing who this is. Now, in Mark chapter 15, verse 40, you don't need to turn there, but he's also called James the Less. Now, I don't know exactly why he was called James the Less. There's sometimes people think that means, I've looked at some commentaries, some say it means he was younger, James the Less. Some mean think it might be he was shorter, James the Less. I was sitting at a table yesterday with eating a bite of dinner last night at the ordination service, and there were two ladies sitting beside each other, and they were both very short, and they stood up just to see which one was shorter than the other one, and the shorter one was 4'9". She was quite short, you know, and she was... But this could mean James the Less means that he was shorter. It could mean what we're discussing this morning, James the Less was obscure. We don't know much about him. But he is called James the Less in Matthew chapter 15 and verse 40. There was one of the other disciples whose father's name was Alphaeus. Do any of you remember which other disciple had a father named Alphaeus? That was Matthew. Matthew's father was also Alphaeus, but it is not believed, I couldn't find anyone who believed that they were brothers. Alphaeus was a common name, and I'm sure if we spent a little time here this morning, we could find some of you here may have had a father who has the same first name. You know, and that doesn't mean you're just because you had that you have the same father. And that's the same thing here. Just because they both had a father named Alphaeus doesn't mean that they were brothers. We look at the numbers. We've been looking at this at each of the disciples. In every list, every one of the four lists of disciples, James, the son of Alphaeus, is always mentioned at the beginning of that third group. He is always mentioned ninth. Never any deviation from that. He's always mentioned ninth. There's only two of the other disciples who are mentioned in chronological order the same. every time. That's Peter, as always mentioned, first, and Philip is always mentioned fifth. And now James, the son of Alphaeus, is mentioned ninth. That is consistent through all four lists. But let's learn something about James this morning. Go to Matthew chapter 27. Matthew chapter 27. And we're going to go down to the time of the crucifixion now. And let's go over to verse 27:55. Verse 55. And many women were there beholding afar off. Now let's stop right now. Why were they beholding afar off? Not because of indifference, not because of fear, but it was culturally not acceptable for the women to be in the forefront at that day. The men were near, the women were afar. That was the culture of that time. So certainly they were not afar off because they were in some way indifferent to what was going on. And so they were far off, which followed Jesus from Galilee, ministering unto him. Let's stop with the ministering. Wow, isn't it wonderful that we have women here who had a desire to minister to Christ and minister for, you know, women, there's a wonderful example here by these women of how you too can be those who follow Christ and who have a wonderful ability to minister in his name. And so we see, but who were some of these women? Well, it says in verse 56, among which was Mary Magdalene, you know Mary Magdalene, and Mary, the mother of James and Joseph, and another one, the mother of Zebedee's children. So we have three women, a Mary Magdalene, a Mary, and James and John's mother, the other James and John mother. So unnamed here. But we have Mary, the mother of James. This, we believe, is the same James, the son of Alphaeus. So we have his mother here ministering. Notice her care. He ministered. How did these ladies minister? Well, sometimes if they had substance, they ministered through their gifts to help Christ and his disciples get food. Perhaps they ran errands. Perhaps they washed clothes. Perhaps they did anything they could to minister to Christ and his disciples. Unknown exactly what they did, but wrapped up in that word ministered. And Luke 8 tells us that they ministered of their substance. Same word, but clarifies it a little bit. Here was James the less mother doing menial things, lowly duties, not in the spotlight. But she set a good example for her son. Because later, we find James the less, James the son of Alphaeus, doing what? Ministering, but not in the spotlight. You know, ministering like mom did. Look at her consecration. We find that in the words, followed Jesus, verse 55. Followed Jesus. And not just a short while. Followed him what? Clear from Galilee down to Jerusalem. I mean, she would. How did they get from Galilee to Jerusalem? They walked. Except for the women. No. The women walked too. this shows great consecration on her behalf, to even if it was tiring and long and arduous and hard, she kept going, following Christ. And then we learn a little bit about her companions here. We read Mary Magdalene and the mother of Zebedee's children were along. But notice who she associated herself with. Other followers of Christ. Who did, when you see her name, she's connected with other followers of Christ. What a great example here of the mother of James the Less. And not only do we see this mother viewing here the crucifixion, but let's go to chapter 28 of Matthew and go to verse 1. In the end of the Sabbath, as it began to dawn toward the first day of the week, came Mary Magdalene and the other Mary to the sepulcher. Again, I believe this is the same Mary, the mother of James the Less, James the son of Alphaeus. And now, not only is she there at the crucifixion, she's one of those who again visited the tomb. And when did she come? As it began to dawn. That speaks volumes too. She wasn't at home laying in bed. What was she up? Before dawn, busy, still trying to do what? Minister unto Christ. In the early hours of the morning, here's a mom who's still setting an example of ministering for Christ. She was earnest in her devotion. And Mark 16, a parallel passage, says that she came with sweet spices that they might come and anoint him. She was wanting to give honor to Christ. She was still trying to demonstrate her love and devotion and honor for Christ. Wonderful testimony. And as I mentioned, we know more about mom than we do about her son. But guess what? Her son, in his own way, was faithful in following Christ in the difficult times, following the example of his mother. Now, obvious application this morning, right? Moms, this would have made a good Mother's Day message. But moms, what an example you can set for your children of faithfulness, of devotion, of loyalty, even if you're not in the spotlight, serving and loving and following your Savior. So that's about all we know about James, the son of Alphaeus. But let's go to Judas, not Iscariot. And so, again, we saw his name on the list. Yet, this man is also a man that has one peculiar thing about him. He has more names than any of the other disciples. He's called Judas of James, son of James. And again... For all we know, careful study has, we don't know which James, but not any of the normal James that we're familiar with. He is also called Thaddeus and Labius. He has three different names. But the Gospels are very clear to always try to distinguish him from Judas Iscariot. He is always listed in the third group of disciples, the third group of four, but he is sometimes listed 10th and he's sometimes listed 11th. It's not always consistent how he's listed. But he is one of the ones that we have something that he said. Just one time. So let's go to John 14 and see what Judas of James, or Labius, or Thaddeus, said on one occasion. John chapter 14. Jesus is here teaching some truth about what's going to take place once he leaves them. They're discouraged and disturbed by the truth that he's going to leave them. So what? They start asking questions, right? We've already looked at some of these questions. Who asked the question in verse 5? Thomas. Who asked the question in verse 22? Judas saith unto him, not Iscariot. All right, so this is the Judas that we're looking at right now. And he makes a comment here. The only comment we ever have recorded in Scripture that he ever speaks. He was the quiet one. No, he was the one that didn't like to... No, I don't know. I'm just saying that. He couldn't understand something. He was perplexed about something. What was he perplexed about? Well, let's see the context of his question. It says, verse 18, I will not leave you comfortless. I will come to you. So he's talking about the Holy Spirit. He talked about the Holy Spirit in verses 16 and 17. And then he promised them that he would come. Yet a little while, and the world seeth me no more. But ye see me, because I live, ye shall also live. At that day ye shall know that I am in my Father, and ye in me, and I in you. He that hath my commandments and keepeth them, he it is that loveth me. And he that loveth me shall be loved of my Father, and I will love him and will manifest myself to him. So what did he say there in verse 19? The world seeth me no more. Verse 21, will manifest myself to those that love me. And so Judas asked this question, Lord, how is it that thou wilt manifest thyself unto us and not unto the world? How are we going to be able to see you, but the world's not going to be able to see you? How is that going to happen? And Jesus goes on in this puzzlement of Judas to explain that he's actually talking about spiritual illumination. That you're going to see me spiritually. Although one day they would eventually see him physically again. But when Christ went back to heaven and they couldn't see him physically anymore, how could they see him? Spiritually. Because the Holy Spirit was going to come. And what was the Holy Spirit going to do? Reveal the Father and reveal Christ to the followers of Christ. And so in that sense, Jesus Christ is going to be manifest to them. How many of you, I hope that nobody raises your hand here, how many of you have ever seen Christ personally? I haven't. I've never had any kind of vision. I don't think that's what God intends for this age in which we're living. But how have I seen Christ then? Spiritually speaking. The Spirit of God has revealed Christ to me through the Word of God. And that's what's being spoken of here when Judas asked the question. Look at Christ's response. Verse 23, if a man love me, he will keep my words, and my Father will love him, and we will come unto him and make our abode with him. Let's stop just a little time out. Yesterday I sat on an ordination council. All kinds of questions. I probably personally asked 30 questions yesterday. And the young man did a great job of answering my questions. He couldn't answer some of my questions because I can't even answer some of my questions. Explain the Trinity. I can't explain the Trinity. But guess what? The Trinity is living in you today. You know, we often talk about we are indwelt by the Holy Spirit of God, but that's not all. Who else are you dwelt by, with? The Father and the Son. This verse just said it. It says, we will come unto him and make our abode with him. So you have not only the Holy Spirit residing in you, you have God the Father and God the Son and God the Spirit all abiding in you. Therefore, we have Christ being manifest to us. So it was an answer having to do with understanding spiritual truth that the world can't understand. They don't see Christ today spiritually because their eyes and minds are what? Blinded. And they're walking in darkness, and we are children of light, and we have that illumination going on in our lives today. And so, yes, he only asked one question. But it was an important question. Because the question had to do with how God ministers to us today in helping us understand truth. And helping us understand who Jesus Christ is. And so it's I guess if you are going to ask one question, it better be a good one. And it was a good question. That brings us to the last obscure disciple this morning. We've looked at James, the son of Alphaeus, and Judas, not Iscariot. Judas of James. And now we have Simon Zelotes, the other Simon, the second Simon. Let me tell you, of the three, he is the most. If you want to put people on a scale, Simon Zelotes is the obscure of the obscure of the obscure. He's the most obscure of all of them. The only thing we know comes from his names. We don't know anything else about him. Notice he has names that include Simon Zelotes, and also he is at times called Simon the Canaanite. If you compare all of the lists, he has that additional name, Simon the Canaanite. Matthew chapter 10 and verse 4, where we started out, he's called Simon the Canaanite. And then in Mark he's also called that, and then in Luke and Acts he's called Simon Zelotes. But it's understood, what does Zelotes mean? A zealot. And Canaan doesn't refer to the land, Canaanite. It doesn't refer to a city called Cana. Canaanite here just means it's a Anglicization at that time of the Aramaic word for zealot, which was Canaan. So he's the Canaan, or he's the zealot. Is really a way of saying that. What was a zealot? A zealot had one goal in mind. What's that? Let's get rid of the Roman oppression. I'm a zealot. He was from the political group. And all we know about him is that he changed from being a zealot against Rome to being a zealot for Jesus Christ. We don't know much else about him. He now became a follower of Jesus Christ. Again, demonstrating what? When Christ comes into a person's life, he can bring about great changes. Just great changes. And his whole emphasis in life was changed when he met Christ. We never see him associating with the rest of the zealots ever again. Now he only associates with Christ and the followers of Christ. Man, what a change took place in Simon Zelotes' life. And that's our three obscured. I don't have anything else to say about Simon Zelotes because I don't know anything else about Simon Zelotes. But these three men, even though the most obscure three, were faithful followers of Christ. And you know what? All of us here tonight, or this morning, haven't preached quite that long yet, but all of us here this morning, even if nobody ever takes note of us, your name may never end up in a book of who's who among Christians in the United States. But guess what? In our obscurity, may it be known of us that we faithfully followed and served and ministered for our God. Whether anybody ever knows about it or not, whether anybody ever applauds us for it or not, we have three disciples here who loved their Savior and followed him, many of them, even unto death. Let's look at these lives and learn from them, and in ways we can, let's emulate them. Let's pray. Father, there are times when I have thought that it would be nice to know more about these disciples. But I believe that one day I will. I believe one day I'll meet them and be able to get better acquainted with them. Until that day, may we just pattern ourselves after their faithfulness as well. Father, we looked at the mother here of James. She's mentioned at the cross and at the tomb. What a wonderful testimony of one who ministered to Christ and was faithful, even when it might have cost her her life too. Give us faithful mothers like Mary, the mother of James. And so, again, we pray that the Spirit of God would help us apply these truths to our own lives this morning. Help us to have spiritual illumination, because we have the Holy Spirit and Christ and God the Father indwelling us today. We're their abode. And help us to know Christ better, love him more, and serve him with our all. May that be the end result of this study of the disciples. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.